Wow, you guys do good. You know what? I'm just so thankful that when things change due to our lack of control, but God being in control, that the church will step up. You know, and great job, all of you guys do. I know that Dave is one that likes to work behind the scenes and make sure things happen right, and you know, and all of this, and does a great job. But being in front, it's, if you don't do it a lot, let me tell you, it's very challenging. So he did good. He did real good. If I had to do it way back when, well, you know how I was. I told you I couldn't even read my notes. I was so nervous. And but Dave did a great job. And you know, I was praying this morning, and not that that's a new thing, hopefully, but I was praying, and the Lord said this to me. And I don't know why he said it. I don't know if he was warning me or what. I don't think that was the case, just the way he said it. He said, these are my people. And I'm waiting for more. And he didn't say anymore. He just said, these are my people. And I've not had him talk like that with me before like that, just for a group, a church, a body like that. So y'all need to count that as a great privilege, where God will stand and say, these are my people. And all I can say is, yes, Lord, I know that. Well, thank you. So he's given me a lot of things to share with you. If I can just kind of open up just a little bit. There was a dream that was given, and it was a prophetic dream. And I want to share that with you if you haven't seen it or read it already. But I can see where the Lord's doing some work in the church, and there's some things that the Lord, I believe, wants to point out and to give us more understanding and even better details, hopefully, of what he's really wanting to do here. So, but anyway, let's start with this. This is a problem. The Lord's kind of given us a warning here. We're his people, but he's warning his people that we need to look at things, you know, and be cautious of different things. So let me read it to you. This dream was given on the 11th of this month, and says, we were preparing to gather for our regular prayer meeting in the lower level of one of our members' homes. However, the floor was starting to slant and chairs were unable to stay put. So you can imagine, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, where are we going here? Then the homeowner told us the ground the home was standing on was giving way. Unstable ground. So we moved to another building, but not all members moved. See, folks, when there's change sometimes and maybe a little difficulties, people sometimes don't like that and they shy away and they leave. And we've had a lot of that happen here, I'm sorry to say. And it says, but not all members move. Some just left. The second place, so they went to another place, and it says the second place did not work out for us. No spirit. And that was the end of the dream. So they made an effort. Some didn't. Some just gave up and left and quit. And, you know, there's people that are kind of there where, well, whatever. I don't need this, the aggravation, whatever. And they leave. They give up. But they said when they did move, there was no spirit. What we need to understand, folks, is the Holy Spirit's presence is so precious that we really can't function or really hear from God and get it down into our heart and our spirit without the Holy Spirit, without his presence, without his teaching, without his direction. So this is so important. And I just cherish the presence of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, this is just a dream that was given that I think we really need to comprehend what it is. And somebody put a scripture to that. And the scripture is what we're going to talk about today. I think it's important to look at everything that the Lord gives us. He gives it to us for a reason. And it's not to condemn us, but it's because we're his people. Amen. Don't forget that. We're his people. You're special. You're his. He claims you. Nothing's going to change that. So he wants the best for his people. And he wants us to understand and to be strong in him. See, when we're weak and we're feeling down and like everything's come against us, we can stand and say, we're God's people. Amen? Doesn't matter. We may not understand it, but we're God's people. And maybe that's why God shared it. He said, these are my people. And I say amen to that. But it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I will read that in just a moment. We're going to start at verse, I might start at verse 9 with that. But before I look at that, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And it's verses 1 and 2. I want to read that to you now. We then, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. It says, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So folks, he's really putting out there and trying to get us really to receive and understand to not receive the grace of God in vain. You know, a lot of times God gives us abilities and he may share things with us. And it's like, oh, I understand. Okay. But then we don't do anything with it. Do you ever notice that? It happens a lot. You know, you share it and we don't do anything with it. So we receive a lot of grace. There's a lot of people, I know I've even done it for a couple of weeks where I wanted to be saved and God's grace was there dealing with me. But I didn't move. I didn't do it. I said, well, I'll do it later. See, that's God's grace working on me, but I used it in vain. I didn't use it at all. And that's what we really need to be cautious about, is not taking the grace, the power, the unction, the ability, the encouragement of God, and then not do anything with it. Now, In this, Paul urges then that the Corinthians not to receive the grace of God in vain. This means that while they had been given the gift of grace, they must not take it lightly or fail to respond to it. Grace is not just a one-time event. It requires a response of faith and action. So that's what Paul's trying to share here. It's important. Do not, you know, grace of God requires response and our faith in action. Do something with it. Don't let it just pass by. And it will. Do y'all realize that? God may be giving you grace right now to do something. You're talking with somebody, and then it's like you just feel that maybe you should share something with them. But then the enemy is saying in your mind, well, but maybe they won't receive it. Maybe it'll make them angry. And then we start thinking, well, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to hurt them. You know, they may never forgive me, or they may not listen anyway. They may think I'm an idiot, I'm a fool, and just laugh at me. And so we fail to carry out what God's given right there. And we might say, well, I'll do it later because this may not be the right time. And I'll do it later. And did you ever notice that most of the time, later never comes? Did you ever notice that? It's like you missed it. Folks, there's so many times I've missed things. And it's like, no more. Lord, I don't want to miss anything anymore. I want to do it. But Lord, what you give me to do, please let me know for sure it's you talking. And then let me move in faith. And then do that. It's so important, folks. Don't let it go by. God's calling you for a special task, to witness or to share with somebody or to even help someone that will change their lives. And do you know, there may not be anyone else can do that but you. And at that time, timing is everything. And God has a timing and a purpose for our lives in everything that we do, even what's going on now in the church. So let's look at our text here, the foundation. The foundation is, of course, Jesus Christ. So let me read verses 10 and 11 here of chapter 3 and start with 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. We're God's people. I love that. Thank you, Lord. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Folks, Jesus is our foundation. Jesus is the one. And then what we do is we build on that foundation. So we have Jesus as our foundation. Now how do we build? What do we use to build? What is the building all about? Why not just stay where we're at? Hey, I've been saved. What else is there? I'm going to heaven. I believe in Jesus. Well, that's good. But now we're required to build on what God has already done in our lives. Paul begins by stating this, that he laid the foundation as a wise master builder, which is Jesus Christ. This emphasizes that the foundation of any ministry, our Christian life, must be centered on Christ. No other foundation can provide the stability and the truth necessary for our spiritual growth. Nothing else works. The materials now, they refer to the various ways that we can live out our faith and contribute to the building of God's kingdom. See, folks, that's what this is all about. We get established on the foundation that can't shake. It's that foundation that's not going to sink where the chairs won't set on the floor in one place. So we need that solid foundation to where no matter what might happen, no matter what can go on, that we're stable, we're on a foundation, and we're not sinking, we're not going to be destroyed. We are established on that foundation. A church that focuses now on teachings of Jesus and the gospel as its foundation will thrive spiritually. Then one that prioritizes social programs or entertainment over the core message of Christ. You know, I know a lot of times people may envy the bigger churches because they can do more. They have more funding, they have more people. You know, we've got like 5 on our choir. Where you go to the bigger churches, they might have 20 or 30. We've got one guitar. They may have 3 or 4 guitarists, plus a piano and an organ and other instruments. See, and it just sounds like, man, it's just so beautiful what they do. And then they sing the newer songs and the hype songs. I'm not against any of that. In fact, sometimes I almost envy people with that, with the ability, you know. And then we can go to smoke and mirrors and lights and all this other kind of stuff. Our stage is set up. But see, that takes care of the flesh. Are we really getting built up on the foundation? Is this really material? In other words, is this material that God can use to build his kingdom on and for us? Folks, I see a lot of people going in there and they're enjoying all of that, but then they leave in the same mess that they went. They had wood and hay and stubble and all of this built on precious stone, on gold and silver for the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And so they spend their time there and they leave the same. And, you know, I've been in services like that many times. And a lot of times I left and I couldn't even remember what the preacher said. I'm like, which scripture did he use? What was he really talking about? You know, and I think that's sad. But some people, that's where they're at. That's what they like. Entertain me and make me feel good. Well, I love to try to make people feel good. I love that, and that's such a privilege to be able to do. But you know, there's sometimes that you have to share the word. And sometimes the word doesn't make people feel good. And let me tell you, sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? If I'm making a mistake, I don't like to be told I'm wrong. And making a mistake, any of you? But folks, I'm learning to listen. It's like, hey, if I'm messing up, doing something wrong, tell me so that I can change. Because I may not be hearing right from God. So you talk to me. You tell me. That's why I like the dialogue hour. I used to like the dialogue hour that we had downstairs because we used to talk about stuff like that. Or we would say, well, I didn't quite understand what your point was there, Pastor. What were you trying to say? Or maybe I don't agree with that. Because I get this scripture. But it's discussion time because we learn together. And we can all grow from that. Amen. I know there's always lots of other things that have to be done and need to be done, and that's great. But I'm just saying I love the real dialogue hour of being able to share. I get kind of pumped up here, and then I go down there and add to being pumped up and excited with a piece of pie or cake or some cookies and some coffee. Man, I'm on a high. And I don't like to leave that high right away. So anyway, so it's important now to build with the right stuff. Now in verses 12 and 13. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's works will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Folks, we can build a lot of things, and we can think, hey, what we're doing is the absolute right thing to do, and they just don't understand me because I know. But I want to tell you that your work's going to be tested. It's kind of like now. Did anybody expect that Bob was sick all the weeks that he sat here, months and years, and even the last part that he was sick? Then all of a sudden, he goes to the doctor. The doctor sends him to the emergency room, and now he's in Ann Arbor. Folks, there's things that happen now. If we're going to be strong and know how to pray and to pray correctly and to stand strong, we have got to have a little building on the right foundation. Wouldn't you think? We need to have some gold, hay, or gold and silver rather, and precious stones that we've been walking in, that we've been praying about, that we've been studying about. And the things that we've determined in our lives, and that's the way that we're going to walk. That's what we believe, and that's just the way it is. And then when these things out of the ordinary happen, see, a lot of other churches may have fallen apart. But see, y'all didn't. Yes, we care, and we continue to pray. But yet we've got enough in us to where we can stand and say, God, you're in control. God, this is not the end. This is just the beginning, because when this is all said and done, when it's all over with and we're way down the road from this, they can look back and say, this is what God did for me. The enemy meant it to destroy me, to kill me, to take me out. But God meant it for my good. And now he can be praiseworthy and say, hey, we serve a God that cares and that will indeed take care of us. So Paul warns that builders, leaders, and believers, that is, should be careful about how they build on this foundation. He uses a metaphor of different materials, gold, silver, costly stones, versus wood, hay, and straw, to illustrate the quality of work done in ministry. The materials symbolize the quality of our works and intentions in serving God. You see what our materials are here? It's the quality of our work. Do we just serve God when it's appropriate? when it feels good, when we got nothing else to do? Or do we do our praise, our study, and time with the Lord, even when it doesn't feel good, even when we don't think it's the right time, but we still stand strong and say, no, Lord, I do it for you. Do you do it? Do we serve God with the right intent and the right quality? Do we just, that's good enough. Folks, I don't like it's just good enough. I really don't like that. I'm more particular. I'm more particular in what I do for the Lord. I'm more particular in how I tell people different things about the Lord. Folks, I'm more particular. And then, if you haven't already noticed, I'm going to tell you, when I hear someone say something and take scripture out of context, I'm right there to say, well, wait a minute, let's look at this. Because I don't want to let them go with that wrong belief. And there's people that may reject that, and it's okay. But yet I take my stand for the Lord. See, the Lord is, he's too precious. He's so loving and caring, and he's taking good care of all of us if we let him. But I'm particular. I'm particular in my messages. My wife always said, why you spend so much time in that? Well, if I was smarter, it probably wouldn't take as long. But the thing is, I want to spend my time with God. There's times that I get up at 2:00 in the morning. She gets up at 8:00. I'm still studying and praying, spending my time with the Lord. I've done it for years and years now. It's something that I can't undo. It's my habit. I don't do every morning at 2:00. Usually it's 3:30 and 4:00. But see, that's my habit. Because I get up, Charlene's in bed sleeping, and that's great. I love it that she stays in bed till 8 or 8:30. That's fine with me. Gives me more time. No distractions. Not that she distracts me, but it's just that it's me and God. Folks, you got to build right habits and right things. You really got to get particular. I'm not saying you're perfect. Man, I'm far from being perfect. But I'm trying. What I do for God, I want to make sure I'm right. What I'm sharing with you, folks, I don't want to share a lie or a half-truth or something that's just weak. It might be right, it might not. I don't want that. Too particular. I always pray, God, give me your word. Holy Spirit, speak through me. This message here, I prayed, Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that this is what you're saying. I had a lot of it down last night or yesterday. I worked on it for I don't know how many hours. But it just wasn't quite what I thought it should be. It was just kind of like mediocre, and I don't do mediocre. It may come out that way when I share it, but I'm going to tell you it wasn't mediocre when the Lord gave it to me. So forgive me for that. But then I get up early this morning to go over it again, and the Lord, before I even get to my place, the Lord has already been sharing different. I said, Lord, that's good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know? And then I try to write it down real fast. So materials symbolized the quality of your works. And it's gold, can be silver and precious stone. Because you spent time with it. You wanted your best for your God. Now, wood, hay, and straw symbolizes works that are of lesser value. Whatever. It's okay. Like selfish gain or without a true heart for God. And see, that stuff gets burnt up. God won't keep that. So I want to be careful not to do a lot of work that's just going to be burned up. What a waste of time. Amen? I don't want my stuff being burnt up. I want it to be gold to God and silver and precious stone to him where he can say, well done. Well done. Thank you. You good and faithful servant. I want to be faithful to God. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. Because you know, when we do shoddy work, can I say it that way? Shoddy work. Our prayer life is kind of shoddy. Here and there. Not on the bullseye. Sometimes not even hitting a target. It's kind of like shoddy work. 1 Peter says this, be alert and sober-minded because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. See, when we're not building with the right stuff on the foundation, I think we can even open the door to sometimes the enemy working against us. I've had good people before who were on the foundation but become jealous or angry or upset because of what you do. Oh, you think you're special? Oh, you think you're better than the rest of us? Well, I don't think you know as much as you think you do. See, that's the enemy. He attacks. So we don't want to be shoddy. We want to put down the good stuff for God. So it's kind of like, remember Job? I tell you, Job was something else. You know, God had blessed him with so much wealth. And then he had 7 sons, 3 daughters. And Job always worshiped God and praised God. And his kids, they would have feasts through the year, and they would invite all the other siblings and different people to their houses to celebrate and to have fun together. You know what Job did? Job would try to sanctify him. He would go and sacrifice the animals and the amount and all of that for all of his children because he thought that maybe they'll curse God in their hearts or maybe they'll do a little something wrong and not realize it. So while they're celebrating, he went and worshiped God for them, to cover them. And see, a lot of us do that for our kids too. Do you realize that what we do the right way for God, it has effect even on our children? It may not look like it right now at times, but God does mighty work because he honors us. That's why we continue to pray for our kids. We never give up on our kids. Just as God never gives up on us. See, I'm not talking perfection. I'm talking about a heart, a desire to want to serve. I want to serve God. Doesn't matter where, how. Doesn't matter what bad things might happen. I want to serve God. Who else? Like the disciples said, Lord, if we don't walk with you, who else is there? So I'm asking, who else is it that you can serve, that you can trust to take care of you? What else, what other foundation could you possibly build on that would be solid and sturdy enough that you can really build on, unless it's Jesus Christ? Folks, I see a lot of rich people, and you think, man, with that wealth, I've got a nephew. Is Danny a nephew or what is he? He's your nephew, and that makes him my nephew, right? He's the one, his wife committed suicide. His wife was one that I don't know how many thousands, I think it was, I'm just guessing, several hundred thousand dollars a year, because their dad owned so many different, you know, companies, and he had investments in the oil and all this different things. And so every year it's divided up between the children and the mother. Well, the mother died, so that man more went then to the kids. Well, before she killed herself, and Danny's early 50s now, his wife went and worked it out that Danny would get her money. He sees a new truck, he buys it. He sees a motorcycle, he can buy it. Money means nothing to him, and he'll tell you, some money is nothing. It just doesn't matter. When their son was killed, I'm just telling you about some of the bad things that's happened to this family. When his son was shot dead by a drug dealer, they couldn't go back to their home where it was, and this was probably $500,000 home, maybe more. Danny went and bought another house. I don't know what he paid for that one, probably more, because it's got a Olympic Stadium type swimming pool with waterfalls, and I mean, it's a mansion. And they didn't even take the furniture out of the one. They just locked it up and left it. Didn't even try to sell it yet. Just sat there for years and years, because money was no object. But folks, he's the most unhappy individual that I really know. He's an alcoholic. He's lost his license already. He's got a good lawyer, so when he gets caught driving without a license, his lawyer can get him out on bail. He found a barmaid who tried to kill him after a few years and called the cops on him when the cops came in and seen him all cut up from the scissors she was hacking him with, that they got to, because she called. So they realized it was her that was the problem. So they arrested her and took her to jail. So then he went and found another one. Hopefully she's better. We haven't found out yet. He's still alive. But how would you like to have his money and his lifestyle? No, folks. I know whom I have believed, and I've been persuaded, and I'm walking on that foundation for sure. But the enemy attacked Job, didn't he? The enemy told God one day, he says, you think Job is so good? Well, why isn't he? Sure, he would be good, because you've blessed him with so much. And the Lord says, well, then go ahead and try Job, but don't touch his health or his flesh. and the enemy destroyed them all. Do you know when the servants were coming one at a time, says a wind came, your house fell down, killed all your kids because they were all in there celebrating. And the roof fell in and the whole building caved in on them and not one of them lived. I'm the only one left. Then renegades came and stole all of his donkeys, his camels. Fire came and burnt up his sheep, killing all of his servants except for the one, for each one. And they all came in, one, well, you've lost all of this, you've lost all of this. The sheep are all burned up. And do you know what Job did? It says he rose up, cut off all his hair, but what he really did is he got up, then he fell down on his face, and he worshiped God. Folks, do you think you can do that? I don't know if I could. I'd have to work on it. But Job did, because he was committed to God. And folks, that's where we need to be. I know we would do it. I know that Charlene and I would do that. But I couldn't probably jump up right away and do it. By that evening, I think we could. But see, that's the thing. We've got to really learn to build on what God has done. In fact, Ephesians 5:20 and 21 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Folks, there's no fear of God for people. Oh, God is love. God understands. God will forgive. Does it matter? What are you building with? It does matter. I don't want to hurt my father's feelings. I don't want him to feel that or make him feel that I really don't care for all that he's done for me, like a lot of the younger people today. Do you ever notice that? You owe them. They don't say thanks. You're obligated. You're a parent. Why should I appreciate what you're doing for me? You're required. Well, to me, that's a bad foundation to be working on. You know what I mean? Because things do stop going in their direction for me. This entitlement. And we have that with the Lord. Lord, you owe me. God doesn't owe you anything. If we lost everything and went and lived in the street, God doesn't owe us anything. Folks, we owe